the four of you who won books last week during our Tuesday contest, as you know, I don't want to throw the books away, so we're going to be giving you four apiece. And Tommy has your emails. He'll be getting in touch with you if he hasn't already. We'll get your mailing address, and we'll get those books out within a week or so. So take advantage of that. Open lines continue. We'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, to the phones we go. Let's pick it up by going to our East of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast with us. Hi there.
Hey, George. This is Brooke. I'm calling from Newport, Rhode Island.
Brooke, what's new up that way? Is it getting cold yet?
No, the cherry blossoms are all in full bloom.
Oh, strange. Big ice storms coming toward the Midwest, though. Looks like winter's going to slap them for a change.
Well, I'm calling because I very much enjoyed your program last night with Stephen and also Dr. Lewis Turry. And I still hope you can get Suleiman Edmondson on.
Yeah, Suleiman sent me an email a couple weeks ago. And we're still trying to figure out how to fit him in on something. He's interesting. He's come up with some pretty good predictions.
Oh, yes, he has.
Turi's January predictions seem to be right on the money.
Absolutely. But the real reason I'm calling you is regarding John Titor.
Yeah.
Okay. In the January issue of Vanity Fair magazine, which is about as mainstream as you can get.
In January 07, right?
Correct.
Okay.
There is a full-page story by Michael Luton, who is Vanity Fair's astrologer. And he says it's called Special Alert Horoscope USA, a planetary configuration not seen since 1776 is coming our way, heralding chaos, revolution, and rebirth. And in this, he says Pluto was in Capricorn. Or we were born with Pluto in Capricorn in the 1760s, and Pluto is coming back to the same place for the next 20 years.
Well, then he echoes a lot of things that John Titor talked about.
Absolutely. And if you get this article, you should read it on the news on one of your programs because it mirrors everything that John Titor says. And I wouldn't dismiss everything he's saying so fast.
I'll go a step further. I'll get the astrologer on.
It's amazing. It's absolutely amazing. And I was trying to get on with you all month about this, and luckily I was able to get on tonight.
Okay, thanks, Brooke. Appreciate you being part of the program. Next up, let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hello there.
Hi.
Hi.
My name's Sandra, and I'm calling from Redding, California.
Yeah, hi, Sandra.
Hey, I wanted to let you know that I'm a sleepwalker. I have been for quite a while, and sometimes I wake up dialing your number.
Right out of your sleep?
Out of my sleep, because my radio's on, and I'm just barely awake enough to, I'm dialing these numbers, and I don't even know what numbers I'm dialing, but...
I wonder what it would be like to interview you if you were asleep. Now, that would be...
I would love that.
Interesting.
The real reason I'm calling is when you bring up good luck, bad luck stuff, I always think I want to call you and let you know about this idea that I came up with like about a year ago. I'm a poker player. And
Texas Hold'em?
Yep, Texas Hold'em. Hold'em is my game. And I'm in Reno, Nevada playing a big tournament. And all these guys at the table are passing their lucky charms across the table. Their card covers. And so, now I'm in the card cover Lucky Charm business, selling them online to poker players all over the country.
That's amazing.
I got all these great themes. I've got the good luck dragon. I've got the yin yang. I've got...
You did call me last week.
Oh, no. What did I say?
You told me this exact same story.
No way.
Were you sleeping?
That would be funny.
Hey, do you have a deck of cards with you?
I just have one joker. It's sitting on my table.
Oh, no. You don't have a deck of cards at all in the house?
Yeah, I do. In the other room.
Well, how long will it take you to get it?
10 seconds.
I'm going to play a game of Texas Hold'em with you, one hand.
Really?
And I'm not going to obviously look at the cards, nor will you look at my cards, you promise?
You got a lucky card cover?
I'm going to go with my intuition on my cards, and we're going to see who wins. But go get them.
Okay, hang on.
Hurry up. Don't leave me hanging here all by myself in my studio with my staff. So we're going to do that. We're going to play a little game of intuitive Texas Hold'em only because I want to. and then we'll go back to the rest of the open lines. End of the program tonight. We're going to have a couple classes.
Are you there?
I sure am.
I can't believe. I think I'm dreaming. I don't think I'm running through the house getting a deck of cards.
You're not.
And
still,
the world is listening.
You're still sleepwalking.
Okay, I'm shuffling.
Shuffle these cards. Shuffle them by the phone so I can hear it. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Now you deal them, and I'm playing against you.
I'm splitting the deck.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead. Okay, I'm going to put three cards out, turning them over. Okay, I got the flop.
When do I get my two?
Oh.
Oh, you got to do it again.
All right.
You are asleep. All right, shuffle them up.
All right, one, two. Okay. All right, your two cards are here.
All right. Face down, right?
Face down. Right. I got the lucky card.
You promise?
On it.
You're on the honor system here.
I swear. There, I can't see a thing.
Okay. And you've got yours?
Putting out the flop.
Okay.
Okay, I've got mine.
All right. Flip the three.
All right. You want me to tell you what they are?
Oh, you have to. I can't see. I mean, I'm intuitive. I'm not that good.
Eight of hearts.
Okay, eight of hearts.
Eight of hearts, eight of spades.
All right.
Wait. Yeah, and then ten of spades.
And ten of spades.
Yeah, okay.
Okay. I will just pretend. I'm in.
Okay, you're in. I'm in, too.
Okay.
All right.
Next card up.
All right. Here's the turn. It is a four of clubs.
Okay. Doesn't seem to help anybody, right?
Well,
and
I don't know.
We get one more card.
I think I'm going to bet on this one because I have a four.
Now, we get one more card, right?
Okay. Here comes the river.
Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
What is it?
It's the Joker.
What's the Joker doing there? You can't play Texas.
Okay, I'm
going to
burn that card.
I'm
burning the Joker.
The Joker.
Right. Okay, here comes the river.
All right.
It's a six of spades.
A six. So we have how many spades now on the table?
Three
spades on the table.
You think you got a flush, huh?
I think I am holding a queen and a four.
Okay. All right. Turning your cards over.
Well, no, you go first. Tell us what you have.
Okay, I have a five and a nine.
So you have nothing.
Nothing.
Okay, all I need is to beat your nine, and I win.
Okay, you've got a seven and a nine. Six, seven,
I
eight,
beat
nine,
you.
Ten. You got
you
a streak.
I won.
I can't believe that.
I wasn't right on my card picks, but I knew I would win.
This is my first phone deal.
You got it. All right.
Wait, can I give my website out?
No.
Why?
Because there'll be millions of people doing that. You can't do that. You can send us your website. You can email it to me, and then I will make the decision. But thanks for the poker game. Send me my cash. First-time caller line, you're on the air. Hi there.
Hi, George.
Hello there.
I'm addicted to your program.
You
I
are?
Love it.
Well, you know what? I am, too. I came in today. I have my first cold in 6 years. Can you hear it?
A little bit.
Yeah.
Not much.
I mean, I've been sneezing for 2 days, but I'm coming in because I didn't want to give up another Friday. I mean, I miss these shows. So here I am.
Well, it's great. I'm a 76-year-old lady that loses a lot of sleep listening to you.
You do not sound 76.
I wish I didn't look 76.
And if I ask you to keep talking, it's because I'm sneezing with my microphone off. Is that okay?
Okay.
But I'm okay now.
Okay. Anyway, you've got me sleeping till 4 o'clock in the afternoon because I can't sleep at night for listening to you. And you know what I do? I listen to it the second time around. Anyway, I couldn't tune in until about 10:45 tonight. Had you already mentioned the earthquake in Japan?
Yes, I did at the top of the show. There's a tsunami warning for Alaska and now also Hawaii. So I'm glad you brought that up so I can update that.
Oh, good. Okay. Dr. Turi is right on.
Yeah, he is. You know,
he said the 12th.
Well, he also talked about terrorism. What did we have? We had a little missile launch against the U.S. Embassy in Athens, Greece yesterday.
Right.
Yeah, he was on.
But he even said that it was going to probably be an earthquake.
Yes.
Now we got to see what's going to happen the 19th.
I know it.
I love your program.
He's too accurate.
Thank you, George.
Thanks. Appreciate you being on the program. Let's go to our good luck, bad luck line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there. Good morning.
Good morning, George. I have an experience or a series of experiences that fall squarely into the bad luck category.
All right. That's unfortunate, but tell it to us anyway.
Okay. Well, I'm a musician, and I grew up a musician, and there's a piece of music that I was supposed to perform on numerous occasions. And on one time before the day of the performance, I was stricken with appendicitis. The second time I was supposed to perform it, I was hit by a car.
Oh.
And the third time I was supposed to perform it, I fell off of a cliff.
You fell off a cliff? How far?
Well, the people who rescued me estimated between 50 and 75.
Oh, my God. You must have been unconscious, obviously, right?
Yes.
Sort of.
My first memory is lying there, unable to move.
How did you fall off a cliff?
Well, it was a performance in upstate New York, and we had some time between the performance and the dress rehearsal.
So you decided to jump off a cliff?
No, but I decided to go for a walk to take in the countryside.
Oh, no.
And I realized that that time was getting short, so I looked over a precipice as a potential shortcut.
Oh.
However, it turned out not to be a shortcut.
Oh, my God. And over you went.
Yes.
Let me ask you this, because you're obviously, do you remember it? Do you remember the fall?
I remember being at the top of the cliff, and I remember the descent. I remember seeing some pine trees. I remember seeing the tops of them, and I remember looking at them going down.
See,
I don't remember the actual impact.
Okay, well, that's good, because I want to ask you about the descent. I mean, no question, time goes by very fast. But as you're falling, what are you thinking about?
At the time, there were two very distinct thoughts going through my mind. The first was, this is absolutely spectacular. And the second was just an overwhelming feeling of, I hope I will be here to recall this.
I mean, did you think for a moment, I'm finished? This
yes,
is it.
Absolutely.
You did.
Mm-hmm.
So you were facing that in the quick fall.
Mm-hmm.
Man, that's something else. Anyway, finish the story. I interrupted you only because I've always wanted to ask somebody who is plunging what they're thinking about as they're going down.
Well, I guess it's just the body's the soul's inclination just to make peace with oneself. But one thing I did not fear, surprisingly, I didn't have any fear particularly. I just accepted the situation as it occurred.
There's not much you can do.
That's right.
I would have hoped that maybe an angel would have swooped over and picked you up as you were falling.
Well, from the accounts of the people who rescued me, that did happen because...
Oh, really?
They unanimously said that by all accounts, I should have been dead.
That is so. How are you doing now?
Oh, I'm fine. I have. The only long-term consequence was from that time I got hit by the car.
And what instrument did you play?
I play a viola.
Oh, you do?
Mm-hmm.
That's pretty. You have one close by for you? This is great. I'm getting talent from everybody. You don't have it right there, do you?
No, I sure do.
Oh, let's have a little play here.
Okay. What would
something
you like
we
to
all
hear?
Something we all know.
Okay, I'm opening up the case.
Turkey
right
in
now.
The straw. I guess you don't play that.
No, well, I'm a classical musician, so I would have to.
So you don't play the Sugar Pie Honey Bunch. You don't play that.
Sugar Pie Honey Bun?
No, you don't do that.
Not necessarily.
I think that was by the Four Tops, I think.
I'll tell you what. Let me.
I think.
How about this? Are you ready?
I'm ready. That cold is affecting my brain. Gilligan's Island. That's perfect.
You recognize it?
Gilligan's Island.
Yep.
I loved it. Okay, hey, thanks.
Thank you very much, George. I love your show.
You made our evening tonight. That was so cool. West of the Rockies, you're on the air with us. Hi there.
Hi, this is Don. I'm calling here from Lewistown.
Hi, Don.
I'm calling about that comet that's just now about to go around the sun.
Right, Comet McNaught. Yes, the bright one.
I went up north of town here, up on the hill, and watched the sunset. And then I watched it, and about 20 minutes after the sun set, you could see it. But The thing is what I saw.
What did you see?
I watched it brighten up and then dim down, brighten up and dim down. So I got my binoculars and I started watching it. And the thing is the material that's coming off of that thing showed me two things. That's why I'm calling. Number one, the material is coming off at a very, very fast, powerful rate. And going back in the tail at about 150 to 200,000 miles an hour, at least, because, as you know, it's going to go around the backside of the sun. So that means it's 93 million miles away.
That's right, at least.
Yeah, and the thing is you figure how big the sun is and how wide it is. Well, the sun is about 886 miles in diameter. So that tells you at that distance, the material is going into the tail at a very fast rate. Secondly, the size. With that much material being released at that kind of a speed, it's telling you another thing. Those things are enormous.
Yeah, this is huge. Some have estimated 6 or 7 miles.
More like 600, 700 miles, 1,000.
Something like that.
Oh, yeah, at least, or more.
If one of those puppies ever hit us, there'd be no more us.
That's right. I have a funny feeling that's why they're telling us that, because panic. You know, I don't know. But that's why I called, because I was impressed with what I seen, and I had to.
You know what's so amazing? They didn't really know about it until recently.
Yeah, I listened to you guys last night, and that surprised me with the scientific material that they have available today.
Know.
And not seeing this is telling me either they don't want us to know, or I don't know. I can't explain it.
Good point.
It doesn't make sense.
Good point on both of those. Thank you. Next up, let's go to our wild card line. You're on Coast to Coast. It's your turn. Hi there.
Hey, George. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. You know, I'm not going to do you justice because I've got a minute left, so I am going to just chat with you a little bit, put you on hold, and let you finish your story when we come back. Fair enough?
I really appreciate it. Thanks
great.
So much.
Where are you calling from, by the way?
I'm calling from the San Fernando Valley. We actually spoke on November 3rd when we did something about me pressing to the future to become president of the United States.
Okay, we'll do that. And you know, there was just a small airplane crash. Two people died at Van Nuys Airport, which is in San Fernando Valley.
Just it's not far from me at all.
No, not at all. Okay, I'm going to put you on hold, and you'll be one of the first people we come back and get right after the break. We've got open lines continuing right at the end of next hour. The last half hour, I'm going to take a few old classic calls, three of them, that you will love. And I'll explain that a little bit later on, but we're going to have open lines for you this hour and next hour as well, so stick with us. If you need to email me, that's george@coasttocoastam.com. And to the woman that I won in the Texas Hold'em contest, please send me my winnings. Send them up here to Los Angeles, please, and send them quickly. I'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM, so don't touch that dial. Well, to those of you who live in Texas near Austin, January 26, 27, I'll be in Austin, Texas. We'll be doing a live program there on the 26th. And then on the 27th, I'll be at the KLBJ AM Talk Fest. We'll put some information up on the website next week for you. We'll also have a book signing for Worker in the Light, but I'm looking forward to going back to Austin. I was there a couple of years ago, just a delightful city. And I think there, those of you in Austin listening right now on KLBJ, I think they're having a contest. And people are going to go to dinner with me on that Friday night. That's the neat part of the contest. The bad part is you're buying. Well, I was going to go back to that caller from the San Fernando Valley, but Tommy disconnected him, and so he's gone. And I know you're out there very frustrated trying to get back in. We'll do the best we can to squeeze you in over the next hour or so. My apologies from my producer, Tom, who continues to overwhelm me with some of the things he has done. So sorry about that. I was going to come right back to you, saw an empty line, and now it's full with somebody else. I'm sorry. Wildcard line, you're on the air. Hi there.
George?
Yeah.
Hey, this is Jimmy in Memphis, Tennessee.
Hey, Jimmy, what's going on?
Nothing much. I was hearing one of your shows the other night about time travel, and a question just popped up in my head about it, and I wanted to run it by you and see what you thought about it.
Sure.
If you had the ability to go back in time to biblical times and to kill Judas before he betrayed Christ, what would have happened?
Well, let's assume that's what he did. You know, he turned him in. You know, remember the Judas Gospels that they found about a year or so ago?
Right.
That claims that Jesus and Judas were in on this, that he basically said, you've got to turn me in. That's the only way the world is going to ever know what my message is here. But let's assume, let's put that away for just a moment. Would I have killed Judas? You know what would have happened? I would have gone to Jesus. I would have told him what was going on. Of course, he already would have known. And he would have told me, I think, don't intervene. Let this happen. I guarantee that's what he would have told me.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
I agree with you there, but I mean, what if you didn't confer with it and you just did it out of your own accord? Well,
I think he'd know. He'd know. Would be down there rummaging around.
Yeah. And I still think since, according to Christianity, that was his destiny, it still would have happened.
Yeah. I'm not sure you can play around with the past. I think somehow the past will take its own avenues no matter what.
Right.
I really do. Hey, thanks for the call. Hey, Tommy's jumping for joy because Craig is back, the person that he disconnected. So you're back. Craig, we got you?
Hey, I can't believe you got me.
This is absolutely great. Amazing. The odds of you getting back in are infinitesimal.
I know. I felt very blessed for that.
Well, here you are.
Well, I was going to tell you the story of something bad that happened to me after I spoke with you last time that I feel will help kind of fulfill my vision there.
Okay.
So to remind you, I called on November 3rd when we were talking about people who had time traveled. And I said I had become president of the United States
yes.
in 2 years. Okay, just want to remind you. So anyways, I have this temple on Hollywood Boulevard called Temple 420 where we promote cannabis as a sacrament. And that morning, I've been working on the show Weeds, Kevin Nealon was promoting their last episode, and they joked around about me being a consultant on the show too. An undercover officer came and joined my temple.
Oh, no.
Oh, it was fine, believe me. Like I said, it's something negative. I'm facing 7 years in jail now.
Are you really?
I got arrested on the 8th of November. I put the whole video up on the internet on YouTube of the police coming in arresting me. It's under General Farmer with a PH. And so I'm really trying to promote the Bible, cannabis, and end the civil war. We call it drug war.
Oh, man.
And I feel like this opportunity to go to a court because the police really violated our rights, and we do under the Supreme Court's recent decision, Gonzalez versus Ocentro Espirita, have the right to use a hallucinogenic Schedule I controlled substance as a religious sacrament.
Well, that is true. The Supreme Court kind of backed that up. The question is, you need to go to court to prove that's what you do and that's who you are.
Unfortunately, we do, but fortunately, it's lending us to get in lots of newspapers and lots of press, so it's helping make the cannabis issue more prevalent in the news, and I'm not sure if you're familiar with John Gettman's recent report where he called cannabis the number one cash crop in every state.
Oh, yeah, there's no question about that, and you know my support for the medicinal use of marijuana, because I've interviewed so many people who cannot take pharmaceutical pain pills, and you know the cannabis has helped them immeasurably. It's mixed feelings. You know, I've always said, what would happen if we legalized all drugs? Because most of your prisoners are in there for petty drug crimes. Most of your robberies and things are because people are trying to get money to buy drugs. What would happen if the government just legalized them, controlled it, and, you know, basically monitored what was happening? I think the crime rate might go down dramatically.
Yeah, I could agree with you, but I specifically am talking about cannabis because 80% of all drug arrests or people in jail are actually in jail for marijuana, and I call myself the general farmer with the PA.
Is it that high, 80%?
80%. And what we're talking about is a plant that's really the leaves of this plant are for the healing of all nations. And it makes gasoline as well, and it can help get us out of the Middle East and by making fuel out of hemp.
Well, you know how this thing all became illegal. I mean, years ago when hemp used to be used for paper products, and Hearst owned forestries, and he wanted to start selling paper from trees, and so they outlawed hemp, and everything fell apart after that.
That's part of Jack Kerr's theory in his book, The Emperor Wears Clothes. But, you know, there's all sorts of reasons the chemical industry didn't want it. If you go on in my book, 9021 Grow, I have a photograph of Henry Ford, who built a car, not just that ran on hemp fuel, but the body of the car was built with hemp fiber, similar to how a Corvette is built with fiberglass.
There's a group in St. Louis that they drive around town in a hempmobile. They don't have it down to the point yet where it's profitable to have hemp for fuel, but I'm sure you could get it there. Let me ask you a question, though. I want to see how responsible you are with cannabis.
Go right.
Little 10-year-old kid says, hey, I want one. What would you do?
Well, I have 7 kids, so I obviously don't believe kids should be smoking pot. I think it should simply be legalized for adults, but I'm for the industrial use of cannabis as well. I said this plant is for the healing of all nations, and that's why I think I can be a leader in this movement and actually do something different than these other politicians for the next election.
Are you going to take your case all the way up to the Supreme Court if you have to?
If we have to, the goal is to win right here. And if we win in the Los Angeles Superior Court, it doesn't necessarily become a law that other people can use. Only if the government appeals our victory. If we lose, obviously we'll appeal, but if we win, it's questionable whether the government will appeal us or not because they may not want to create law.
Well, let us know what happens to you.
George, I'll stay in touch, and I really appreciate you letting me be on the air. God bless.
Okay, take care, son. That was a tough situation there. Next up, first-time caller line, you are on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. I'm really pleased I got through. I got through rather quickly.
You did. Well, good for you. Where are you calling from?
I am in Tennessee. And I had something I wanted to tell you and then something I wanted to ask you about.
All right.
I was listening while we were talking about Dr. Torrey, was it, that had predicted an earthquake on the 12th?
Dr. Torrey, yes.
And I believe that he had also on this show had predicted one on the 3rd, and I thought there was another date. And I think he had even specifically said the East Coast. And when the 3rd was here in Tennessee, we had a small earthquake here. And I remember I told my husband, I said, hey, that guy predicted that. We were just really amazed.
Well,
by
you know,
it.
You are on that New Madrid fault there.
Oh, great.
And that is bigger than the San Andreas fault here in California.
We just moved here and we heard that. And then I don't know if it was him or somebody else predicted a nuclear plant. You know, something with a nuclear plant. We're right near the big Oak Ridge nuclear plant.
Oh, gosh. Where did you move from?
West Virginia.
Okay. Not too far.
No, not too far. So I thought, oh, great. We picked a great place to move. We've got earthquakes and nuclear plants.
And wait till the tornado season starts.
I've heard that we don't get them too bad here.
No. Oh, really?
We've only lived here a couple months, but they say the mountains protect.
We get a lot in Missouri.
I have never been through a tornado, thankfully.
All right. Thanks for the call.
Okay.
Appreciate you being on the show. I oped too soon. Let's go to our good luck, bad luck line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
This is Valia from Vancouver, British Columbia.
Well, welcome, Valia.
Welcome. I wanted to try and get through with you around the holidays because it's part of good luck, bad luck.
Okay.
The bad luck is my mom passed. It's a good story. My mom passed in 2000, and every Christmas she used to send me awesome boxes. Like, she would look all year for stuff to put in these boxes. And I was lying in bed. I had the flu. And I was missing her. It was her anniversary, December 10th. And it was Sunday, and I was thinking, I'll never get boxes from my mom again. And, you know, just missing her over the holidays.
Sure.
The friggin' phone rings. I answer it, and this woman says, you were at the craft show yesterday, and you have just won basket number 3. George, I, for 20 years, have bought raffle tickets and never won a thing. And I know it was my mom that, from the other side, had orchestrated it because she was sitting there listening to me.
Mom probably slipped a little raffle ticket into the puller's hand.
She probably did. I don't know how she did it. But the other thing I wanted to say, too, is I am blessed with parking spots. I just get parking spots right by restaurants, right by banks. Anywhere, and people...
Well, you don't have a handicap sticker, do you?
No.
Oh,
no.
All right.
I mean, I get like the one beside the handicap sticker.
That's pretty lucky.
I never have to drive around. They're just there. And people with me are like blown away. They can't believe it. And my brother, who lives in Montana, says all he has to do is think of me, and he gets a parking spot now. And my husband laughs, and he says, I'm never going to win a lottery because all my luck goes on the parking
That's
spot.
That's funny. Hey, do you ever have to kind of like fight over a parking spot?
Never. No, never. They're just there empty for me.
Good for you. Now you have good karma.
Thank you, George. I'm a healer too, so God bless.
All right. Take care.
All right. Bye-bye now.
Next up, let's go to our East of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Good morning.
Hi, George.
Hey.
Hey, this is Brian from Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
How are you?
Good. Wonderful.
Hey, listen, I got a kind of a freaky, scary story I wondered if you'd be in the mood for.
Of course.
Okay. Well, when I was a boy, my mom, she was one of these old school that used God as a scare tactic.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
there?
Yeah.
And Jesus was going to punish me for coming in late and getting my shoes dirty and all these other things,
take,
right?
Take you to hell, it's over for you.
Exactly. So, you know, by the time I reached my early teens and started to rebel, as most early teens do, you know, then he was really going to punish me for everything. And one day, in the middle of an argument, when my mom and I were talking, yelling at each other, you know, she said, Jesus is going to punish you. Jesus is going to punish you. You know, God have mercy on your soul. And I screamed so loud, you know, F Jesus. And just as those words came out of my mouth, this St. Christopher medal that I wore around my neck was literally yanked off by some unseen
force.
This thing, I felt it, and I had a red mark around my neck, the back of my neck, where the chain tightened up, you know, where it was ripped off my neck. And, you know, we both kind of stood there just in astonishment, looking at each other and looking at this metal that was laying on the floor at my feet, and then started to smell this horrid, horrid burning plastic smell, okay, off of my kitchen in the house I grew up in. There was kind of this small nook where junk collected. There was an old broken electric stove in there that my mom kept boxes and things just stacked on. George, the burners were lit up red hot, and the Tupperware and the boxes that were on top were melting down over the sides of the stove. Thank God that nothing like that has ever happened to me since.
It was a wake-up call, wasn't it?
It was, and you know what? I've accepted in my life a very, very loving God that I choose to call Jesus, and it's not the God that my mom used to threaten me with.
I agree with you.
It's really wonderful. I wanted to ask kind of your opinion. Do you think that that was evil at work, or was this like a poltergeist activity that maybe came from within me?
It could have been angelic, you know? It could have been your guardian angel trying to wake you up a little bit.
Yeah, could have been.
I would have to believe that. Hey, thanks for the call. Appreciate you being on Coast to Coast. Next up, let's go to our West of the Rockies line. It's your turn. Hi.
Hello, how are you tonight?
Fine, thanks.
Well, I've had two hospitalizations, both life-threatening this last past year, three family deaths, two clients and a caregiver deaths.
Oh, great luck for you, huh?
The last day of my last job, my vehicle conked out on me and hasn't been fixed since. First time in over 30 years not having a vehicle. And it's like, I must have been a horrible person years ago or my past life, because I'm sure paying for it this time. How do you make up for the difference
when
you don't know what to do?
Let the cloud get you right now, and hopefully you won't have any more left.
Oh, I hope. See, they always say it's going to get better. I'm waiting. I'm waiting for karma to come around. I'm going to celebrate that puppy.
It will.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks, appreciate it. And that's the secret of all of it, too. It always gets better, you know? It always gets better. Even in the darkest moment of your life, eventually it will get better. Let's go to our wild card line. You are on Coast to Coast. It's your turn. Hi there.
Hey, George. How you doing?
Good. Thank you.
That's good. This is Sean from Calgary, Alberta, Canada.
Yeah, Sean.
Yeah, I've had some really great guests on lately about consciousness, and I think I just listened to one yesterday on Streamlink about the pyramids and stuff like
yeah.
that. Well, I have a little story first to tell you about my own little consciousness experiment. I have a spiritual group that we get together and we read the Nag Hammadi or the Dead Sea Scrolls and different spiritual texts
okay.
and stuff like that. Although we sometimes get talking more than we do reading. And one lady said in my group said that her husband and they're building his cabin outside of town, and he wants to paint the wall red, and she just does not want the color red in on her wall.
Right.
So I said, well, let's just try something. I said, let's all of us just visualize him looking at the wall and choosing the color blue. And it was really, so we did that. Like we kind of walked it through together, just him walking up, seeing the wall and then seeing the sky and, you know, wishing that the wall would be the same color. And sure enough, the very next day, her husband gets up and looks at the wall and says, I think I'm going to paint that wall blue.
It works.
My suggestion here is, like, I know this works, right? And you know it works. Like, I've listened to your audiobook, and it's really good, by the way.
Thank you.
But, you know, like, there's a lot of mysteries in the world. Like, like your guest the other night, he said that he was a geologist, I believe. He discovered this cavern underneath the
Sphinx.
The
yeah.
Sphinx, exactly.
And he hasn't been able to go look at it, but yeah. I think there's something there.
That's right. I do believe so, and same with Edgar Cayce, right?
Yep.
Why don't we all do a mass, visualization of Zawiya Waas deciding to look in there?
Good point. Good point. Let's work on that. And also, we're going to get our friend Richard Schock, and we're going to get somebody from Edgar Cayce's Foundation, ARE, to talk about what could be at the base of the Sphinx. I'll be back in a moment. More open lines on Coast to Coast AM.